With the familiar tones of AC/DC, you and I begin another episode of Wrestling Observer Live. My name is Josh Nason. It is Sunday, June 8th. Can you believe it? We come to you coast to coast, from the North Pole to the South Pole, from the beaches to the sticks, every single day on WrestlingObserver.com, of course, the Sports Byline Broadcast Network, over-the-air affiliates, iHeart, TuneIn, various other apps. Everywhere you get a signal in this fine world, you can hear my voice every single day. Special shout out to those listening on the American Forces Network. Of course, we thank you for your service each and every day. I'm going to be with you for the next hour, filling in once again for Andrew Zarian. Of course, we're going to be talking all about the big news, the big headlines, the big happenings from Saturday and a little bit of Sunday. And of course, we'll look at the week ahead. And what else can we talk about, friends? The man of the hour, the man of 2025. One of the biggest stars, R-Truth. Yes, for the second straight week, you and I are going to chat about R-Truth. Last Sunday, gone from WWE. Said his contract wasn't getting renewed. And now, what a difference a week makes. He is back, making a surprise appearance at Saturday night's Money in the Bank. And that return, and subsequent answers about the return, what happened, has spurred some of the perhaps dumbest arguments I've ever heard on the internet and on social, and that's saying something in 2025, in the year of our Lord. We'll talk about that. Of course, we had Worlds Collide yesterday. We talked about the rest of Money in the Bank, all the other happening as well. WrestleMania finally has a location, thank goodness. We'll chat about that. Of course, we'll look at a summer blockbuster coming up this Wednesday. Another 4 hours of AEW action. Are you ready? Still recovering from last week's 4 hours. We'll talk about that. Mariah May, maybe a little TNA. All kinds of other stuff as well. We have a lot to talk about today. I can't wait to get started. So all that and more awaits you. Stick around for the next hour on the Wrestling Observer Live. We are coming back right after this. Okay, back. Wrestling Observer Live. Sunday, June 8th. Hopefully your weather is looking good like mine is outside my window. My name is Josh Nason. Back once again, filling in for Andrew Zarian. I'm going to be here for the rest of the month. So you're here with me, you and I. Andrew has got some other stuff going on, and I'm more than happy to fill and see you every Sunday from now through the end of the month of June. You and I are going to be spending some time together. And look, you and I are going to be spending some time with R-Truth, apparently. What a week. What a week for somebody that just a week ago was a comedic character on WWE TV. Someone that, look, we appreciated. We enjoyed, but he didn't really spend that much time in our heads, right? We weren't thinking about what his WrestleMania program ever was. We weren't thinking about, you know, what's he going to do for SummerSlam or anything like that. He's just a comedic figure and someone that we enjoyed and was non-offensive, and he just fit. And then last Sunday, you and I are talking these same airwaves, and he took to X social media and thanked WWE and said he was informed he was not going to be returning. They were not going to be renewing his contract. Not a big shock. Guy's in his early 50s. Looks like he's in his early 20s. Phenomenal shape. Give me that workout routine. And then everyone said, okay. And then Carlito later on that day said the same thing. And then we learned that Valhalla also not coming back. And it's like, okay, some of these things make sense. And WWE, you know, always looking, you know, the corporate overlords, always looking to save some money, make efficiencies, all this stuff. They need to, probably not, but this is their promise to shareholders, right? This is what happens. So no big surprise, but there's a little bit of an outcry, of course, because there's a lot of WWE wrestlers that were also very, you know, they were upset that he was going to be gone, but they're not going to tip over the apple cart too much, right? They're not going to do anything that's going to get themselves in trouble. A lot of tributes and, you know, no one really calling out WB per se. But yeah, R-Truth gone and Carlito gone, Valhalla gone. Those things happen. Fast forward to Saturday night, Intuit Dome, Los Angeles, California, Money in the Bank, the very end. We have, of course, the main event, John Cena and Logan Paul taking on Jey Uso, Cody Rhodes. Logan Paul takes out Jey Uso with an acai moonsault to the outside of the ring on top of a announce table. Those two guys taken out, referee distracted. Quote-unquote heel, John Cena takes this opportunity, comes in the ring with the undisputed title, and he lays out Cody Rhodes and is about to get the pinfall, this heel. And out comes a hooded man from the crowd, enshrouded. And you could see, I started to wonder, because you could see his pants came up, and you see it was a man of African-American descent, I guess. And you say, okay, could this be? And you're trying to go through your mind, and he starts kind of beating him up a little bit more. And then all of a sudden, he reveals himself to be R-Truth. Yes, R-Truth back in WWE. He then laid out John Cena with the title belt, and Cody Rhodes got in the ring, pinfall. R-Truth ran away, and that was that. Cody getting the big victory over John Cena. He and Jey Uso celebrating, and R-Truth disappears into the night. R-Truth back in our lives, getting a little measure of revenge against John Cena and the like. And, of course, made the internet temporarily explode, at least social media, wrestling media. There's, like, social media, everything in between. What happened? Was this all a work the whole time? Did they just re-sign him? Did they make a mistake? They realize they made a mistake, bring him back? Who did? What's going on here? Well, these are what post-event press conferences are for. So what happens? We go through the whole rigmarole, and Triple H is finally asked, and Triple H, I want to get the quote exactly right here, and only the way that Triple H can, says, I love the question. So he was asked by a report from USA Today. His first name is Shaq, I believe. He does a ton of MMA and wrestling interviews now. Rob, of course, the return ask, was he actually released? How much does support from the fans play a part in his return on Saturday? So remember, he was never released. His contract was just not getting renewed. Of course, we didn't know what the date was and all that. Triple H says, I love the question. Do you enjoy the show? All part of the show, man. And that was it. Your chief content officer, the guy that is in the mix and in front of the cameras, interesting WrestleManias, that's all he had to say. I love the question. Did you enjoy the show? All part of the show, man. Uh-huh. R-Truth later responding to a prominent social media user and saying that this took fire. And of course, it's unsocial, as these things do. And people saying it was all a work. They got the wrestling media. They cooked them. And then R-Truth replied to a prominent one saying, not a work. And this led to perhaps that did not lead to it, but it was part of one of just the dumbest discourses about pro wrestling on X that I've seen in quite some time. And that's saying something. If you think this is a work, maybe this thing isn't for you, this wrestling. So maybe you just can't figure it out. Maybe you haven't graduated high school yet or interact with humans or understand kind of how things work or don't want to, conspiracy theory driven or something like that. Would it be fun to think this was all work? Of course it would be. We want to always think that these people that come up with these wrestling storylines and everything, they're so far advanced from us, no matter what promotion. They're thinking steps and steps and years ahead. It's all this giant spider web. That's not what happened here, and that's okay. Here's what happened. Because if sourcing, you have people that talk, people that have reported things, PWM Insider saying that it definitely wasn't work because Truth was getting inquiries from various independent organizations and other groups. He was about to make some good money. And so they surmised something must have changed after the last 72 hours. What I take from that is that he was talking to different groups. I mean, you can probably guess who they are. Anyone that books these larger shows, these inter-promotion shows, like a Northeast Wrestling, perhaps. I'm sure GCW is interested. Yeah, PW Insider is very plugged in the Northeast indie scene, and that's obviously where a lot of talents work. I'm sure that like High Spots, they do some. All these different groups that they know what's up. No pun intended. They probably are like, We're in the Truth business. Let's do something. And they said, PW Insider surmised something changed over the last 72 hours to all of a sudden bring Truth back. So here's what happened. I'm going to just assume that the releases, the decision to non-renew, completely legit. And then what happened was somebody in the higher ups decided, boy, this guy's really getting a lot of buzz for us. Maybe we should think this through. How much did he cost? Is there something else maybe we can do with this? And perhaps we made a mistake. And perhaps we made a mistake if he goes somewhere else, say maybe, I don't know, AEW, that they're going to get a lot of positive buzz and we're going to look bad. Our talents are not loving this. What message does this send? And then at some point over last week, they said, well, here's, if we're going to bring you back, here's what we're going to do. And I'm sure it was as Dave Meltzer surmised, maybe a couple year deal. Good for him. Probably making some good coin. And he's back in the mix, and then we'll see what happens in the years ahead. But this idea that this was a long work, that they had him lose to John Cena at WrestleMania, at Saturday Night's main event with no real repercussions. The fact he lost the Friday before he tweeted the news about the release. The fact that his friends didn't know, his family didn't know, and that he was already apparently talking to other groups. This whole thing, that's how they're going to do it. No, it's not a work. If you think it is, I don't want to use the touch grass line. You simply don't know what you're talking about. And you want to believe a fairy tale. This conveniently fell in WWE's lap. And now they look good because they brought back somebody that the fans wanted, right? We'll talk about more about that and all kinds of other things after the break. I'm still not done. Wrestling Observer Live, coming right back. Okay, Wrestling Observer Live back for Sunday, June 8th. My name is Josh Nason. Let's continue real quick with the R-Truth talk before we get to the rest of Money in the Bank. So yeah, so where do we go now with R-Truth? And is he going to be a main event player? So that's the thing, right? Everyone got what they wanted. Good for him. He is back in the mix in WWE. But again, he was never in the top mix. He was always in the lower end comedy card stuff, and that's fine. So he's back. He's making money. He was going to make money one way or another. And now what? So he's going to obviously be doing something with Cena. Do we need to see another Cena versus R-Truth match? Like, how does this fit into his whole retirement thing? Is this the biggest thing he could be doing? So I'm kind of fascinated to see what they do here. It appears he is now going to go by Ron Killings, which is his actual name. Some merch came out about, I don't know, 20 minutes after this whole thing ended. New merch, Ron Killings merch. Is he going to be serious now all of a sudden? Is that what we're doing? So it is fascinating to see how they do this, but do you feel right now that all of a sudden he's going to be treated as like a big player? Or is this just simply a small angle? Did John Cena have an influence in making sure he was back? Or was it all, you know, the other thing with this, Nick Khan, flanked by Triple H, lives in Las Vegas, more about Vegas in a few minutes. They talked about at this event in Las Vegas, asked about social media and the role it plays. And Nick Khan was essentially saying, you know, we don't listen to social media. And I think if he had a chance to kind of rephrase that, he would, because I think with they pay attention, they certainly will tout their social media numbers, but they're not paying attention to it. I don't believe that. I think they selectively pay attention to it. And I think they saw that between, you know, the crowd chants and the attention on social, that, and probably because they were afraid he was going to go somewhere else and get a big pop, namely AEW. It was going to make them look bad, that for short money for them, it made sense to bring him back and insert him into this. And then, you know, we'll kind of see where it goes. But again, were wrestlers influential? Like, I don't know. And it's in Triple H's answer. You know, I talked about that earlier. The easy thing to say and the right thing to say is, look, we listen to our fans, and this is proof of it. And we're glad to have him back. And we'll see where it goes from there. That's it. You don't have to. Everyone makes mistakes. We're talking about human beings here. And they clearly think they made a mistake. Assuming he has signed a new deal, which everyone assumes he has, that they made a mistake and they luckily had a chance to fix it. But they don't ever admit that. They're human beings like anyone else. That was a human being moment that Triple H just kind of fumbled. And someone pointed out, Trevor Dame, a guy on social media who's been on my podcast before, pointed out that the questions that Triple H knows he is going to get asked, he always has the toughest time answering. He knew he was going to be asked about this. So why not just tell the truth? It's part of the story. Was it part of the story for him actually being told that he wasn't going to be brought back? And again, not a work. If you think it's a work, you're wrong. You're absolutely wrong. In other words, I can't say on the air. But yeah, so that's where we're at with R-Truth. We'll see where this goes. And we'll see, obviously, where we're at 6 months from now. I don't imagine it's going to be any different than where we were 2 weeks ago. Put it that way. But good for him. He got a payday. They kept him away from competitors. And yeah, we'll see kind of what happens from here. And the Ron Killings character, the Ron Killings era in WWE will begin once again. The show overall, what a day for WWE and TKO in general. Boy, TKO, huh? Three events yesterday, of course, started with Worlds Collide. And it also, again, went to Money in the Bank. And then it went to UFC 316. So Worlds Collide, I have not seen the entire show. I saw bits and pieces of it. Again, it's a lot of wrestling to commit to during the day. But with AAA, this is another one where they put in a great crowd. I think it was well over 10,000 people in the Kia Forum. Big buzz about, you saw this, big buzz about parking. The Intuit Dome is apparently a block or two away, but you couldn't park in one spot for both shows. So you had to move your car one block if you parked in the Kia lot to go to the Intuit lot. But the shows ended and started at different times, and there was a lot of people just complaining. And it's a logistical thing could be figured out ahead of time with parking between two shows. Anyway. Big crowd for that. I'm sure it has to be chalked up to the fact there's, you know, Money in the Bank happening right next door. And hey, you're going to go one show, might as well go to two. I don't know what the ticket prices were, but is AAA, if they did the show, a standalone show on a Saturday night, would it draw the same? Possibly. All depends who's on the show and everything. But I think we're all kind of fascinated to see how this turns out. This is kind of an unofficial series, I guess, between AAA and WWE. On this show, and of course, WWE had to win. I think it was 3-2, if I have that right. And then AAA's Octagon Jr. losing to Dominic Mysterio at Money in the Bank. A random match just got added as part of Worlds Collide. But it's this is one of those things where once a deal actually happens, which will be confirmed, this September, I believe, or the third quarter, so I would assume September, is when everything's going to go through. Then we kind of get to see, okay, what's the vision for this? And I thought yesterday is a good showcase. Is there a natural way that WWE fans that watch that are then going to go flock to watch AAA? I don't know. I think it's just a familiarity thing. And how many of these AAA guys are we going to see throughout the course of the year in WWE programming or even NXT programming? So you have a lot of the TNA guys and girls already on NXT programming. So you're kind of jammed up there because the whole point of NXT is to develop stars for the future. If you're bringing in people from other groups all the time, then how are you supposed to kind of fulfill that promise? That's something to watch. Do I suspect that a lot of talents are going to be on Raw and SmackDown? I mean, they do have 6 hours to fill, right? You could do some of that for sure. Do a little bit of what AEW does with CMLL. I think those relationships are obviously a lot different with WWE owning AAA. How do you showcases, put them over WWE talent that doesn't feel like something they would do? What is ultimately the goal that they're doing with all this? And that's a lot of things that we'll see play out. But obviously, you know, Vikinga versus Chad Gable, the main event of that show. Very good. Chad Gable, as has been pointed out, so underrated. A great re-signing from them. Definitely a huge, bright future ahead of him. It just depends kind of what he wants. Of course, we had, you know, a lot of showcase matches, and this was, I'm looking forward to actually checking out some of this. I did see, the star of the show, Mr. Iguana, as far as this trios match at the beginning, only in pro wrestling, right? It was something else. So I'll be looking forward to checking that out and more, and then some. And of course, then again, it led to Octagon Jr. Was that in your bingo card for the year, Octagon Jr.? On a WWE PLE, probably not. And then we had Money in the Bank itself, a relatively short show, started at 7. I think it was done around 10:30, if I remember right, in the time I was writing up the main event stuff with R-Truth. But Naomi winning the WWE Money in the Bank ladder match contract, or the contract. She won the women's ladder match, giving her the Miss Money in the Bank contract. So now she gets a challenge for Anytime Anywhere title. She was the betting favorite going into this, and good for her. I think someone that, you know, there's quote unquote bigger stars, I guess you say, you know, Steffi Vakur, Julia the Future, but they have years and years and years to get this done. And I think Naomi, you know, coming back to the company, what, last year, I think it was. This is kind of her time and could be fun. She's involved in kind of a big program with Bianca and Jade Cargill. That helps elevate them. So I think it could be a lot of fun to do that and to see how this goes. There's some speculation that, you know, they haven't had a woman fail in the cash-in. Is she going to be the first one? I don't know. So a lot of intrigue there. So I think that's a good choice. Becky Lynch becoming the WWE Women's Intercontinental Champion, defeating Lyra Valkyria. Lyra having to admit she's the better woman, and that feud must continue. And then we have, of course, Seth Rollins winning the Men's Money in the Bank ladder match, and he is victorious there, picking up the, as most people thought that he would be. And now he'll challenge for that world title whenever he wants, and most people expect that that'll happen, and that's likely going to be against Jey Uso at some point. And then the whole kind of circle with the storyline with Heyman and Bron Breakker, Bronson Reed, and so on will come full circle, and he'll be the figurehead there. So, a lot of chalk there. In that match, latest development, of course, of Bloodline, Jacob Fatu turning in Solo Sikoa. So that is finally happening. I don't know what inning we're in the Bloodline feud. Maybe, I don't know, the sixth. I don't know, but that is that. I keep forgetting Roman Reigns is still part of the company. We haven't seen him in quite some time, so we'll see what happens with all that. Other big news coming out of the night, WWE officially announcing they are heading to Las Vegas. Big surprise, everyone, for WrestleMania 42. Saturday, April 18th. Sunday, April 19th at Allegiant Stadium. No ticket information announced yet, but yeah, coming back to Vegas. Poor people in New Orleans, I feel for you. No idea when Mania is coming. You do get Money in the Bank next year. Nice little tap on the head, pat on the head. But yeah, New Orleans is out of WrestleMania. So this should be, yeah, another big weekend for them. And we'll see if it pays off. The only other thing before I go to break, before we move on from Money in the Bank, TKO truly is shameless for whatever they will sell. The Fireball Ladder. Yes, Fireball, the cinnamon whiskey, which is sometimes delicious, sometimes not, was a major sponsor of the night and a major sponsor of a ladder. And there's logos all over the mat. Our WWE from the past is dead, my friends. It is the TKO era. And if you ever watch a UFC show, you know that they're just going to try to sell more and more and more and more and more. I don't love it. I think there's still the sanctity of some things, but they don't believe in that. They believe in the almighty dollar, and we're going to get more of it. Back after this with more Wrestling Observer Live. Back with you in Wrestling Observer Live, a show you can hear every Monday and Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, 12 p.m. Pacific, right here, wherever you're listening to this right now. Saturdays at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific. Of course, here, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific. Replays. If you're listening to Sports Byline apps, if you jump in like halfway through, like, oh, what did I miss? You missed me ranting about R-Truth and how that is not a work that he's returned and all these other things. Just go back in the archives or just wait for replay, all those good things, and you'll hear all the action. Never miss a moment on WrestlingObserver.com. Of course, you get a subscription there. Subscriptions available on audio only for Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or just, hey, listen for free on Sports Byline. My name is Josh Nason, filling in once again for Andrew Zarian, and we're going to get to a little bit of AEW because Summer Blockbuster is coming up. Yes, Summer Blockbuster, two straight weeks of 4 hours of Wednesday action. Thursday workday be damned, right? You have to get up early. Bah. You gotta stay up till midnight. You gotta watch some action, at least East Coast time. Anyway, you West Coasters, this is what I'm envious of you. Last week's show, Fyter Fest, it was a not too bad of a drop off viewership wise from the week before. I won't bore you with ratings details, but it was slightly up. It's about 3%. Of course, that doesn't include any max viewership and all that. And the second 2 hours did, 380,000 viewers on average, and so on and so forth. So yeah, it was down a little bit from a Saturday Collision, but it's not really comparing apples to apples. It's, you know, it's a tree that bears fruit in AEW, but it's different nights. And again, all stuff. I tapped out. I don't know about you. I tapped out around 10:45, give or take. So I made it right after the FTR and Atlantis Jr. Tag team match. Templario, I think it was. I'm completely blanking, but yeah. So we're going to get another 4 hours coming up in just a few days, Wednesday. So Summer Blockbuster, this one coming from Portland, Oregon. And what do we got for a card here? Pretty interesting card, I would say. Pretty comparable, I think. I like this main event better. Will Ospreay taking on Swerve Strickland. This, of course, is a rematch from their encounter in Forbidden Door, actually last year, when Swerve Strickland was the world champion, successfully defending the title against Will Ospreay. So Will Ospreay, Swerve Strickland, Hangman Page involved this kind of this trio discussion, if you will. Will Ospreay wants Swerve and Hangman to work on the same page because they got to beat Jon Moxley at All In less than a month away, just over a month away, actually. They got to beat him, and so they got to come together. And all of a sudden you have Will Ospreay wanting to be the peacemaker, and Swerve and Hangman, of course, have their history. So they're like, we're not doing that. So that's what's coming up. We're going to have a match between those two. Interesting to see how that turns out, if we get a clean finish or not. MJF, Bobby Lashley, and Shelton Benjamin, the brand new Hurt Syndicate, will be in trios action against Speedball, Mike Bailey, Kevin Knight, and Commander. They picked up a trios win this past Wednesday, and now they'll battle the Hurt Syndicate coming up this week. I really enjoy the Hurt Syndicate. I'm not loving what MJF is doing these days and haven't for quite some time. I don't... heels today... I'm actually going to work in a column about this at some point. Heels are very hard for some reason for wrestlers to really embrace and figure out. The John Cena heel turn has not been great, if we're being honest. The MJF, you know, the Death Riders are their own thing of disdain all that. They're heels that are annoying, but it's not this, I love to hate them. It's just like, oh my, can this just be done yet? I think we'll see that at All In. We have to. And then you have MJF, who is, it feels like playing a WWE heel. And all of this just feels very WWE to me, the comedy and all the stuff. I miss the guy who captivated so much on the microphone and just, you know, the feuds of CM Punk and Cody Rhodes. And, you know, perhaps that's no coincidence, the guys are no longer in AEW anymore. But I mean, even like, you know, the Hangman stuff was pretty good, but still having that heel of just, I'm going to play this 24/7. And I just don't feel that with him anymore. And this just feels like kind of a comedy thing. We all assume it's going to lead toward something. If they beat him up, he's going to turn into a baby face, which I don't think he wants to do. He's got a movie, you know, Happy Gilmore movie is coming out, the sequel coming out any day now. And I don't know. There's something missing with him, and it's been for a while, and it's unfortunate. And I really hope he gets it back, because I think it's a lot more fun when he's poisonous on the mic and is a true character and all that. But we'll see how that progresses through the end of the year. Kyle Fletcher taking on Anthony Bowens. We have the official All-In contract sign. We have our third match for the show. Kazuchika Okada taking on Kenny Omega. Title versus title, thank God. The Continental title against the International title. I believe it is winner takes all, belt versus belt, unless I get hit in the head with a brick or something. That's what it is. And the Continental title, you don't need all these singles titles, so I think combining them is good. You make the Continental Classic in December. You have that for a future world title shot. Perfect. Makes a lot of sense. And away you go. So again, Kyle Fletcher taking on Anthony Bowens, who I think is trying to do his best, and this new character has not worked, so that should be an easy win for Kyle Fletcher. Tony Storm taking on Julia Hart. Mercedes Moné on commentaries. They try to figure out how to keep that the rivalry between Moné and Storm hot for a month before we get to July 12th. Tekla, returning for her second match in as many weeks, battling Queen Aminata. That should be pretty good. And then Mystico in action because, friends, if Mystico wins, it's likely, MJF said, that he can face him the week after at Grand Slam Mexico, which, you know, I assume that's probably going to happen if that came up. That heel I'm looking for, that's where we're going to get it. MJF, the ugly American, going to Arena Mexico and just healing it up against Mystico would be a lot of fun. I am super interested to see how that card turns out. I think with wrestling conflicts as they were, CMLL and AAA now find themselves back in the mix and how they present the show. I think it's going to be a big statement for the Mexican fans and a big statement for this is why we're the best in Mexico, why we think we're the best. And we saw what you did at Worlds Collide. Well, we're going to kick it up a couple notches. And that's a big week for AEW, ROH, and CMLL overall. There's a Tuesday night show. There's Dynamite on Wednesday. And then there's also Fantastica Mania, which is later that week as well. And there's a lot of different talents involved in those shows. So that should be a fun week. But that comes after, of course, Summer Blockbuster. And I'm sure there'll be a few more matches announced. Last week, how they did it, very similar. They did the WB style thing of just making matches during the show, like a Will Ospreay match against Leo Rush and so on. So I'm sure there's going to be a lot of those things that are kind of made during the night. But the four-hour shows, I don't think to anyone's surprise, seem a little long. Raws and SmackDowns and so on seem long at 3 hours. It's not like a pay-per-view, which still, once it hits that four-hour mark, you're kind of just like, okay, how much longer do we have? I'm a little bit tired. But, a TV show at 4 hours is different. And Dave Meltzer reporting in this past week's Wrestling Observer newsletter that the plan, that they're just experimenting with different days. I think if you saw some reporting this past week from Puck's John Oran, excellent sports business reporter there, is that WBD remains a wild card for UFC media rights negotiations. So they get UFC. UFC is going to want to go on Saturday nights. What else on the Saturday nights? AEW Collision. Are they going to run head-to-head with UFC? I doubt it. I guess if you want to do a AEW or a UFC show that started at 8, kind of change the paradigm, which I don't think UFC would be into, but say you start something at 8, you could do Collision as a lead-in, I guess. Or you just do what many assume that's going to happen, is that AEW moves to Thursday nights. And they do double tapings for Wednesday for Diamond, or you just keep talent in town. You have the same venue, booked back nights. You don't have to load in, load out, and you just run from there. So that's also possible as well. But they're just experimenting. I don't think the experiment of 4 hours a week is a good one. 3 hours a week is even a little much. But as always, we'll see what happens. And the ever changing spectacle of pro wrestling and TV product, as it were. Speaking of, what happens if Triller goes away? This is a story that kind of, I'll say, flew under the radar, but it's been talked about a little bit. So Triller, as you know, is a service for international friends that they get AEW Plus on. Worldwide, you get things like all these indies from all around the world if you do the Triller Plus service, of course, the former Fight. And we use it on our website to get access to all the GCW stuff, which is important, especially during WrestleMania weekend, Josh Barnett's Blood Sports that we cover on our website, and all these other fun shows, and of course, all the other indies and so on and so forth. So I was just thinking a lot this week, I'm sure a lot of people are as well. What happens if that goes away? Right? That's probably not good. What do all these indies do? What does AEW do? My guess... Huh, that's a good question, because it's probably, it's a good price that people are getting. So I wonder if AEW owns, Tony Khan owns the infrastructure that Ring of Honor houses all their content on, all their live shows and so on. I just wonder if that moves, if Triller goes away, if they simply have the plan to move all that archive footage there, that is how international fans are able to watch stuff. Essentially, they move AEW Plus to the Ring of Honor infrastructure. And then from there, they do, that's kind of their their thing, and then domestic fans have to get their stuff through Max for a little bit more money. I wonder if that would be the case. I would assume so. I think it's kind of an underreported part of that whole Ring of Honor purchase is the fact that he got that video infrastructure and that whole, which is, I'm sure wasn't cheap. It was developed by, what was the name of the company that used to own Ring of Honor? I have 1,000 names going on in my head. Anyway, it was a TV company, and I'm sure they put a lot of good money into it, a lot of good resources, and I think Tony Khan knew it was a nice sale and a nice thing to pick up for exact reasons just like that. He's had a good experiment with Ring of Honor and Honor Club. Simply just have to do some threshold testing with the amount of people moving over from international, and you could do it. But I would really be bummed for the GCWs of the world and others, other indies that really kind of relied on services like Triller Plus in order to get their product out to a new market. So that's going to be something fascinating to see down the road. A couple more minutes before we go, I did want to mention real quick, if you're in MMA media at all, in the MMA space, if you follow along and been part of that world fan since the real boom period after Tough, pioneer in the space, Jordan Breen, passing away this past week on his birthday. Very unforeseen, very sad situation. And there's been a lot of nice tributes this week. I met or talked to Jordan once in my life. It was on my podcast. And he was great. And there's a 4-minute clip about explaining pro wrestling to a non-pro wrestling fan that's on WrestlingObserver.com. It's available for free on Spotify and Apple Podcasts as well, or the Wrestling Observer feeds there. And I also talked to Jack Encarnacio of the Lapse Fan, who in his previous life worked with Jordan. He was a major figure in MMA media, working for Sherdog, if you remember that outlet when it was really, really big back in the day. And Jordan and Jack were big parts of that. So Jack came on, we talked for about an hour. And it just reminded me how different things used to be. I've seen a lot of different tributes to Jordan and just how someone like him, it would be tough to break through in today's media environment. And it's just a sad situation, but RIP Jordan Breen. And when we come right back after this, we'll wrap the show up. Wrestling Observer Live, coming right back. Back for the final segment, Wrestling Observer Live. My name is Josh Nason. Thank you for having me in your ears this week. Wherever you're listening to this, I'll be back with you again next week and also on Josh Nason's Punch Out in the weeks ahead. Got a few podcast guests I'm lining up. Should be a lot of fun. Looking at the week, look, I tell you, for this show, these shows fly by when I have minimal notes. I have a couple talking points, so you can just go because there's so much stuff happening. The week ahead, a little quieter. Not too bad. I feel like a weatherman, a wrestling weatherman. Tell you what storm fronts are coming through when you have to take cover. So this week, we have Raw, NXT, Dynamite, of course, the 4 hours of Summer Blockbuster, Ring of Honor, TNA on Thursdays, and then SmackDown on Saturdays, and then on Saturday. And that's it. And then we have Father's Day next Sunday. Yeah, no pay-per-views, no streaming specials, nothing. You can just like feel like a human being and watch some good stuff or interesting stuff or, go outside, go do something, hang out with your kids, your girlfriend, your boyfriend, whatever. There's a lot of other things to do, but it's been a busy week. And we have tomorrow night in Raw, we have Gunther challenging Jey Uso for the World Heavyweight title on WWE Raw on Netflix. Will this begins the start of when will Seth Rollins cash in? Of course, we have Naomi. We have the follow-up to R-Truth, the biggest star of the week. And with all the follow from all this, again, he said it twice, it's not a work. So if you're still like, it has to be, just trust the man. Just trust the man. And we'll see how all things play out. Hope you enjoy the story. Are you enjoying the story? All the things that Triple H said. But another crazy week coming up ahead. As always, you never know what's going to happen. And we'll be with you right here on Wrestling Observer Live every single day, Monday through Friday, Saturday and Sunday. On our website, of course, Sports Byline, TuneIn, iHeart, everywhere you can get the show. I appreciate you spending this time with me every single Sunday, and we'll be back with you right here next Sunday. My name is Josh Nason, and this has been Wrestling Observer Live.